listen, we'll get into the more important things of the weekend. But I just love that a guy like Jeff Hoffman has that moment. And, yeah, like, he gives him two innings. Like, when you get moments, it's not just the star players carrying you. It's not just like...
Well, it's Johan Rojas coming up and just having moments all weekend long. Moments, man. Like, it's that kind of stuff.
And this is... And like, having the confidence to go to Jeff Hoffman in that situation. Like, yeah, here's, give us two innings. Even one inning, you're like,
about,
all right, that's a win.
How about Marte coming in yesterday and just, like, a super important... Like, they could have lost the game there. The game was about to be over. Marte comes in, boom, stems the tide. Like, a lot of that, dude.
They're,
a lot of that.
And what I like is that they're finally starting to impose their will on teams. Like, the way they're winning right now is, like, sure, the offense is starting to do its thing. The starting pitching this weekend wasn't great.
No, actually.
But it feels like they're starting to be like, all right, we're going to find a way to win this game. And what makes that exciting is that it felt like early in the season, it was like, if they didn't go up big early, they weren't going to win.
Yep.
And if it was a tie game, they would find a way to lose it. And what they're starting to do right now is they're starting to find ways to win games. And that's what we saw from June on last year, even when Harper got hurt, whatever, is they started to figure out ways to win games. And that's what they're doing right now. And they buried a team that doesn't believe in themselves, which is good. They didn't let them have... yeah. I mean,
it felt like Friday, and then taking Lee on Saturday, it felt like, all right, and then when Machado hit that homer, it's like, okay, so maybe the Padres do have it back. Like, maybe this team has it. And the Phillies just run away with it.
Yeah, And the Padres are a perfect example of, like, you can go get as many stars as you want.
Dude, they have so much freaking talent. It is absurd.
It's absurd.
Like,
now,
it's silly.
Their bullpen is atrocious.
Yeah.
But
I mean, like, that lineup is stacked. And they got, like, high-end talent.
Hold on. What about the Phillies lineup, man? Drew Ellis.
I know, right?
Johan Rojas. I mean, what the heck? They won two games this weekend, started by Drew Ellis, Johan Rojas. And,
yeah,
like,
it's a great point,
Sosa.
Man.
I mean, yeah. I guess it was so vintage.
Garrett Stubbs started one of them.
Dude, I love Stubbsy, man.
The Stubbs drag bun is my favorite.
It's the best thing ever.
My favorite thing that the Phillies do. He's great at it. Like, he's a phenomenal drag bunter.
It's actually something that if they get into postseason
games...
It's
like a weapon. That thing is a weapon.
They can use it.
Yeah, no doubt.
They can use that as they get... So,
like, pinch hitting against a tough lefty or so. Like, I mean, like, he can get the ball where it needs to go.
Especially because lefties fall off the opposite side of the mound.
You're damn right, buddy.
He pulls
it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Dude, Garrett Stubbs, again, we've talked about this a lot. Like, the guy won the Johnny Bench Award in 2015 for being the top college. Like,
so unbelievable.
And it's so funny how people talk about him. Like, he's just like, oh, it's so cute. Look at little Garrett.
Little guy.
Dude, he's like one of the best. He's the best catcher in baseball in college in 2015. Like, what are we talking about? It is crazy. But it just, they are, and being able to come back in three straight, you know, it tricks you into thinking, okay, we can do this against anyone. And they didn't let they stepped on a throat all weekend rather than like, okay, let the Padres have life. And
they swept a doubleheader, Jack.
Well, that's not possible.
I it's the first time it's happened in my lifetime. I'm sure of that. They've definitely never done it before.
It has to be. Yeah. I think the Rojas call up, like, it reminds me a lot of when they would bring up Maton. And he had that little bit of, like, spark and energy.
And
I think Kyle Schwarber talked about this. He was like...
Harper did, too.
About how, like, when veterans are around for a while, it's like you kind of not lose the love for the game, but you're like, just another day of playing, babe. And then they see a kid come up and be that excited, be that into it. It gives them a little...
Yeah,
like,
it's infectious.
Yeah, you know what? Baseball's great.
Totally.
Like, we are you know, major leaguers and all that stuff.
I mean, think about it, first and foremost. I mean, this is the High Hopes podcast. Like... We watched Johan Rojas play in the major leagues. Like, how long? I feel like we've talked about it for five freaking years on this podcast. Amazing. He's only 21 or 22 or whatever.
Yeah, 22.
It's hard to believe that he's still that young for how long we've talked about him on this show.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we saw him play, man. He had a great weekend. It was super. Like, he is a phenomenal fielder, man. Like, that throw, like, that's one of the better throws we've seen. Like, who's the last Phillies outfielder who made a throw like that?
Like Victorino.
Victorino, I mean, dude. That's what I mean.
Tyler Goodell to Cameron Rowe, obviously. Who could forget? But the Johan Rojas
Vince
thing,
Velasquez.
Vince Velasquez. Johan Rojas, a couple thoughts. One, if anyone throws him a fastball, they should be fired.
I know.
Like, just break, throw him a bunch of curveballs. Like, see what happens. If he hits a home run off a slider, like, you could just tip your cap. So, like, he definitely has some ways to go at the plate.
Yes.
Like, 100%. Another thought is, like, just, I need it one time. I don't know if it's going to happen because when he gets healthy, we'll see.
Apache,
Marsh, and Marsh.
Can you imagine?
Just to see what that would look like.
One of the best defensive outfields we've ever seen.
Ever. All time.
Legitimately. It's like, three center fielders.
Dude, and let me tell you something. Now, I don't remember the young version of this player, so I'm curious to see if you buy it.
Uh-huh.
lot of Andrew Jones comps. Like,
wow.
Defensively.
I mean, Andrew Jones is legitimately one of the best defensive center fielders of our lifetime.
I know.
When he was young, dude, the ground that dude covered was, but I can't go Andrew Jones.
Good.
But like, Rojas is phenomenal out there. Like, he covers a ton of ground. And the arm's great.
I still think Pache is better.
He might be. I think Pache might be better.
I think
too.
He's better.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not his. Like, it was an insignificant play because of the ninth inning. I mean, he turned the wrong way on the Soto play on Saturday. So, I mean, it was awesome. I think his personality. I think how happy he was to be here. I think that lit a fire under the guys. Like, you know what? This is cool. Like, let's go out and, like, I don't know, be a little bit excited for the game.
Yeah.
And I thought that I actually felt like it. Now, I know the Pache thing happened and whatever, but I think it was a bit strategic, too, by Dave Dombrowski. Like, this kid is happy, and he knows the importance of adding in a dynamic like that into a locker room.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. I think Dombrowski's got a great feel for that type of stuff, and I absolutely believe that. We had talked about when we first saw it was either an injury or is it a showcase, then the Pache news comes out, you know, which is upsetting because we were really excited about Pache. They say he'll be back this year. We'll see. A screw taken out of the elbow, but that was a bummer.
Oh, it was protruding out of his elbow.
Can you imagine, dude? Like what
looking
the hell?
Down and being like holy cow.
That's not supposed to happen. You probably get that taken care of, huh?
Yeah, and it's like because Pache...
It stinks.
It feels like...
He finally feels like he kind of got something going in his first time in his career, you know?
Torn meniscus and then this. It's just like, it's like, what unlucky season from hell. I don't know. It's. I don't think it's showcasey because obviously now he could be done for the year.
Yeah.
But definitely when it first came up, I was like, maybe just like to say he played the major leagues and has that play and whatnot. So I don't know.
Yeah, look, again, the ability, if nothing else in the Pache role, the ability, he's not as good a hitter, which is an absurd thing to say. Then we're talking about Pache.
That's right.
Bad.
You're talking about a 320 hitter there.
But like,
that's a Hall of Famer.
That is an important piece to come up because Pache did matter for this team as a defense.
Yes.
And look, especially now, like, we haven't gotten to it, but apparently Bryce Harper's about to play first base this week. So, like, all of a sudden, the whole get Schwarber out of left field. All right, who's playing left field now? You know, they got a lot of situations here to figure out. And I know trades down the road were only, it's only like three weeks, dude.
Because I was so consumed with draft stuff that I was like, oh, bleep. You know, we're two weeks away from the trade deadline.
Yeah, it's
July's
like
a big month. If your team's like in it and like you care about your team.
Oh yeah,
you got the draft and the trade deadline in 1 year. I mean, that's a big month of baseball.
It's a big month of baseball, especially for you.
We'll get to the draft.
No, don't worry.
I was not going to bring that up, although I do have all my notes.
I know. Well, I saw your tweet where your tweet for the pod was, "We'll talk about the draft and the Phillies taking 3-4-2." Don't worry, I'll get
that full breakdown of the draft.
Can't wait.
But obviously, as we get closer to the deadline, we'll have like our finalized perfect trade deadline plans.
We always do.
But overall, like this is, it reminds me so much now. 08 was different because, you know, they didn't make the big splashes. But it reminds me of the 09, 10, 11 deadlines where it's like, I think they're going to go get a dude. Like, I think they're going to go get some. Like, I would be surprised if it's just like Adam Duvall.
Right.
And
what they did last year, essentially.
Like, although, I mean, a Duvall Paxton. A little.
Well, how long have we been asking for Duvall?
Well,
I mean, it's like almost like just bring us out of Duvall already.
Well, and there's no bigger sucker on planet Earth than me and James Paxton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Big Maple. I'll go back to
Big
Maple.
Don't throw out Big Maple because you don't know what that is. Because I texted you and you read it at 3:30 in the morning.
I was confused in the moment. All right. Then I was like, oh yeah, I remember.
You're like, oh, great movie. What are you talking about?
I got confused. Then I remembered, oh yeah, he's Canadian. Yeah. Big Maple. Yeah. Got it.
Wow, Topper and Big Maple together? I mean,
it's
that's
true. If a Canadian, like.
Yeah, maybe they could put out the wildfires.
Right. Get Joey Votto down here.
Yes. I'm sure the Reds are selling.
Yeah, the Reds are selling.
Yeah. Get Pivetta back, too.
Oh, buddy.
Pivetta's the new Foles?
Oh, God.
What? Who said that?
I don't know.
What idiot? Who said that?
Yeah, who said that? Nobody said
no
that.
No one said that.
No one would say that.
He would be the, similar.
Yeah.
Both great.
Both great. Yes. Speaking of Foles.
Clutch.
Speaking of Foles, why don't we get to
how are you transitioning this into a Nick Foles point?
I'm a freaking pro. Let's get to someone who is clutch. Something we need to talk about.
Okay.
Because he should be the leadoff hitter for this team. because all they do is win when this guy is in the leadoff spot. Big clutch weekend for Schwarber. I mean, the dude had a go-ahead homer, or a tying homer, a go-ahead homer, a walk-off sack fly, the lead single late in the game. Like it was a, like, obviously we're talking about like the three homers over the weekend, but like
it was big single.
Yeah, and the big single, and then the sack. Like, it wasn't just that he kind of got the power going. It was like these were big hits Kyle Schwarber had this weekend.
Yeah, and he's in those positions because he's batting leadoff.
Exactly. Yeah, good
like
point.
He would not have had a 3-run home run. He would not have had the, like, this is because he's batting leadoff.
But I thought he didn't hit home runs with runners on base. That's what I was told.
All he does is hit pointless solo home runs.
Yeah, actually,
you know, it was a tough weekend for the Schwarber babies.
I like this. Is this the complainers?
Tough weekend for the Schwarber babies.
Schwarber babies is strong. Thank you, buddy. I'm very in on Schwarber babies.
And I guess, so there's a couple things. One, obviously, I'm not an idiot. I know the pitching staff has been.
I like they say it like, I'm not an idiot.
Well,
God.
It's just like these people are so annoying that they like the pitching's been great. I know.
Yeah, thanks.
We
buddy.
Get it.
Yeah, I
watch. I get it. I know. I know the pitching's been great. I get it. I'm just saying that when you are 26-11 with the guy batting leadoff, you're not putting someone else there. Like, I'm sorry, it's over. I'm sorry he doesn't steal bases. I love that people bring up the OBP. It's like, okay, he's also fourth in the league in walks or whatever. So like, yes, the OBP could be higher if he's batting 230, his OBP is what? 360?
Yeah, 370? Something like that.
Like, just relax. The batting average is annoying. I get it. But when he does, like this weekend is what he can do. And it's not lost on me that it was they lose Friday night. And I feel like let's figure this out.
Yeah.
Like, let's figure it out. Because he's usually a laid back, like, we'll get it going, don't worry. And I saw a different demeanor from them. Like, I thought Friday night they played, like, I was prepared. I do not handle Phil's losses. I was getting prepared to be like, dude, are they ever going to win games at home this year? Like, is that going to be their thing where they're just tight?
Flipping around?
Well, like, they're just tight at home all year and they can't get out of their own way and they're trying to do too much and whatnot. So I thought they looked tight on Friday night. And then I just think that when Schwarber does what Schwarber does, it just, it causes an exhale effect on everyone else in the team, and they just let him go do his thing.
Good morning. It is the WIP Morning Show. John Ritchie, James Seltzer in for Joe DeCamera. We got Rhea Hughes, Devin Caney hanging out this morning, talking Phils, and what a pleasure it is to have the skipper of the Phils on with us this morning. Rob Thompson joins us every other week on the morning show at 9 o'clock on Wednesdays. Good morning, Rob. How you doing, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing fine, thanks. I hope you guys are doing well. It's been a while since we've talked.
It has, and you know what you guys have been doing since the last time we talked? Winning baseball games, God, Rob. It has been awesome. 27-12 since June 1st, and you guys just keep rolling. Rob, do you feel like this is kind of, the team has finally hit their groove, and this is the baseball we should expect the rest of the season?
Well, I mean, you can never tell. You might go on another little bit of a slide, but this is the team that we thought about coming out of spring training, and I think we're playing very well. Our starting pitching has been outstanding. Our bullpen's been good all year for the most part, and I think our offense is starting to hit its stride, and I think there's still some more there.
Why didn't Bryce play first base last night, Rob?
Well, it was, we had the All-Star break, and we came out of the All-Star break, and we had four games in 48 hours. We really couldn't get much work done. And for me to put him at first base, I just want to make sure he is completely healthy and able to get through it without putting him in danger. So, I just backed it off a few days. He's going to get out there hopefully soon, but, I had said at one point he was going to play Tuesday, and then we just couldn't get the work in, so we're going to back it off.
Is the expectation that Bryce will be the everyday first baseman once he starts being the first baseman?
Well, we'll have to build him up because he hasn't played defense in, what, a year and a half. But so once we get there, he'll play a game, he'll DH the next game, play a game, then start building him back-to-back days and 3 days in a row. So it's going to be a while before he becomes the everyday first baseman. But you know, as long as we can get there by August 1st, by the trade deadline, and make sure he's our guy, then we'll be good.
One thing you mentioned, though, you mentioned the health part of it. Are there any concerns with the health? I figure if you guys are going to put him out there, you have to feel pretty confident that there aren't going to be any long-term issues with the elbow.
Yeah, I think we're there now. I think, you know, as far as the elbow's concerned, I think it's healthy. I don't really have many concerns about that. It's the rest of his body, really. You know, you take 160 pitches on defense on a nightly basis. It doesn't seem like a lot to the normal person playing first base, but it takes a toll on your body. And just want to make sure that, you know, it doesn't turn into a hamstring or a calf or a hip or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a good point.
And do you expect that once he becomes the first baseman that he stays there? Like, how long do you expect him to be first base? Is this the type of thing where you prefer to move him back out to the outfield eventually this season?
Yeah, I think we'll see how it goes, and we'll see how he feels about that too, you know. But it gives you some options for sure, because you know he can play the outfield. Now, if you know that he can play first base as well, then you know, it gives you a little bit of flexibility that way.
So we're all marveling at Bryson Stott. How rare is the leap that Stott has made in his second year in the majors?
Yeah, and I think we saw it kind of halfway through last year when he started to get comfortable and started to be, you know, the hitter that he is, which is, you know, use the field, see a lot of pitches, being able to see the baseball and know the strike zone. And now he's just taking another step forward. You know, this guy is a baseball player. You know, he's really got great instincts. We know how he can hit. He plays good defense. He's a really good player.
Rob, I think the kind of number one question you've probably gotten over the course of the season has been about the leadoff position and, you know, Schwarber and this whole thing and all that. I at least think we have finally put this thing to bed, 26-11 since Schwarber's moved into the leadoff spot. What is it? Because he's not a prototypical guy, and, you know, we talk about getting a 1-0 lead is great and all that, but what is it about Schwarber at the top of the lineup that seems to make everything else go?
Yeah, it's a tough question to answer, really, because it's not the prototypical lineup that you want, but the big slug power guy with, but he gets on base, he walks, you know, he's not a base dealer by any stretch of the imagination, but he walks and he hits home runs, and he puts the other team on alert from pitch one, and I think that's, it gets them on their heels a little bit, so I think that's a big part of it. And not that Bryson Stott can't be a leadoff hitter, because he's a high on base guy, works counts, sees a lot of pitches. It's just for some reason it works for us when Schwarber's in the leadoff spot.
Right. Hey, Rob, how did Juan Soto end up on your plane after the All-Star game?
Well, it was, you know, when we went to San Diego, we left from Miami and flew to San Diego. We took two of the Miami players with us, and it was something that we offered to, you know, the Miami people, because we were taking a charter. We had our entire coaching staff and had Nick and Craig Kimbrell. And so we just offered it up, and, you know, thinking that other teams would do that for us if we had that opportunity. So we had the two Miami players and, you know, probably, I don't know, 10 or 15 of their family members with us on our charter. And so we did the same thing coming back for the San Diego guys, because we knew that they were starting the second half here. So that was really all it was. You know, it was just a courtesy that we threw out there to the other teams.
We know you can't get into it too much, but just in your experience with him, what type of guy is Juan Soto? What, you know, what type of person is he?
Yeah, we spent a little bit of time with him out there in San Diego, and he seemed great. He seemed very professional. You know, went about his work. He was, you know, he seemed good.
Hey, you mentioned Craig Kimbrell earlier. I'm so amazed at what he's been able to do. How is he doing this, Rob?
Well, I'll tell you, it's been fascinating to watch, because you know, the biggest thing for him is the ability to throw strikes, and that's what he's been doing all year. Because if he's throwing strikes, his stuff is legit, and he's going to get people out. And not only is his performance important to us, but just the person in that bullpen, the calming influence that he has on other guys. Mm-hmm. You know, he's over 400 saves and a long, great career. You know, he's a calming voice, and he talks to those guys out there, and they know that he's at the back end, and everything is going to be fine if we get to him. So, I hope he keeps going, not only this year, but you know, however long he wants to pitch, because he's really been good for us.
Oh, just amazing. And moving from relievers to starters, Christopher Sanchez, what does he need to do to cement the fifth starter role?
Geez, you know, he's getting it done right now, and it's always been about throwing strikes and executing pitches and commanding the strike zone. If he, you know, his stuff is good, the changeup is really a really plus pitch for him. If he can just command the strike zone, he's going to get people out, and he's been doing that. And knock on wood, we got him going tonight, and hopefully he keeps it going.
Rob, Trey Turner, we have not gotten to really see the player that, you know, we expected coming into this season, the $300 million player, one of the best players in baseball. He hasn't gotten to that level yet this year, but it keeps seeming like there are moments where he's breaking out of it. You know, the home run against Arizona, you know, now with the triple last night, and it feels like, you know, he's starting to play better defense, but yet he hasn't kind of been able to sustain that. He hasn't gotten to that point where he can consistently look like the Trey Turner we expected. What's missing, and do you expect him to get back to that level this season?
Yeah, I do. And you know, like you said, you see these little blips where, okay, here's the guy. And you know, he's just got the consistency has to come, and I think it's going to get there. You know, if you look at the back of his baseball card, I say it all the time, you see certain numbers that are eye-popping, and I think he's going to get there. I think by the end of the year, those numbers will show up again, and that means he's going to get really hot at some point.
Yeah, carry the team. Yeah.
You know, it's like with Bryce and his home runs. You know, he got four home runs or something like that. So you think that at some point he's going to hit a bunch of them, and that's going to be really special.
Bob, how is Pache's elbow?
Good. So the surgery went well. They took the screw out, and you know, he's just really got to let the wound heal so that he doesn't get any infection in there. So it's probably going to be a week before we start doing some light baseball activity. We're looking at, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks down the road where we're going to have him back. So
it's not too bad.
It was really a strange injury, you know, where that screw comes out of there, but I guess it happens every once in a while.
A terrifying injury, I think, is what you meant to say. You look down, and there's a screw coming out of your arm. It's not, not what you want, Rob.
Yeah.
Is Johan Rojas likely going to stay up, at least for the immediate future, in that role?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's done a great job for us so far, and he's really athletic and really can play defense, and I think he, you know, with his short game, you know, he can bunt, he can do a lot of different things to help us offensively, and he can certainly run and steal bases. So he fits that role pretty well, and as long as he keeps his head above water offensively, and you know, he's going to be here.
One more for you, Rob, on the injury front here. And as you mentioned, the bullpen's been great all year, and it's been amazing. It really doesn't matter whether, you know, you bring in guys like Marte or Hoffman, you know, Bilotti was up, down. Like the amount of arms we have this year, it seems like it's amazing. It seems like something we haven't had here in a long time. But, you know, the two guys I think we count on the most coming into the season are down right now, Alvarado and Sir Anthony. Any updates on those guys and how their progress is coming along?
Yeah, so Sir Anthony threw another batting practice yesterday here at CBP, and it was really good. So I think he's ready for a rehab assignment. And so I don't know whether he'll get two or three or four outings, but we just got to make sure that he's good to go for the rest of the year and this thing doesn't crop up again. And Alvarado played catch yesterday for the first time and said he felt really good. So we're going to start moving forward with him. And so all good signs.
Awesome. Positive updates. Yeah. Rob, thank you so much for your time as always. Let's keep this winning a bunch of games between the times we speak going. I'm a big fan of that.
I love it. It makes this program very easy. I'm
know, right? Well, thank you, Rob. We appreciate it. We'll talk in a couple weeks.
Thanks, guys.
That's right. 2 o'clock here on Marks and Reese. Jack Fritz in for John Marks on this Wednesday afternoon alongside Ike Reese. We're just going to continue the conversation we had off the air, on the air. I think that's the right way to go about it. What's happening, Ike?
Jack! How about you, boy?
What's up, man? How we doing?
We cannot continue that
conversation. No, we cannot continue that conversation. But we can talk about the Philadelphia Phillies, buddy, because they they're hot. Mm-hmm. 27 of they've won 27 of their last 37 games. First time since 2011 a Phillies team has done that. They are on a roll right now, and what they're doing, you know, it's not very often we've been able to be like, I kind of just expect them to win every game. Mm-hmm. Like there was a point last night where it got to a one run, cost us a run line.
Man, I was so mad.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Because I was like, in my head, I was like, okay, I'm fine putting Nola out there. I think he deserved the eighth.
Right.
But in the back of my head, I was
you
like,
you knew what was going to happen.
This is going to cost me a run line. This is 100% going to cost me a run line. And it did. And it did. But either way,
we got the W.
Either way, yeah, that's all that matters. But still, when the game was getting close, I was never really that nervous. And I feel like we've gotten back to where I was at least at the beginning of the year before things started falling apart, where it's mm-hmm. like, we don't need to do the freak out every day when they lose. Like, here we go. Here's the collapse. They're a good baseball team that's going from what I believe is a good team on paper to a great team.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this team, and we mentioned this yesterday, it's starting to look like what we envisioned the team being in spring training. And I'm with you. Last night, that was a game I thought Nola would come out and pitch well.
Looked really, really good.
Certainly did. Gave up a couple runs. But that's okay. That's to be expected. He didn't have the blow-up inning where you give up four or five runs, and now you got to get out of a deficit.
And even the inning you allowed two runs, I thought it was mostly bad luck.
Yeah.
More than like, oh, here we go, an Aaron Nola bat.
Yeah. To your point, I didn't feel as if he's about to unravel.
Totally agree.
And here we go. So I'm with you in the confidence level of the team as far as believing, sticking with a team, not thinking, okay, here we go, we're about to blow this game. Even when they get down like they did against the Padres, I think after the first game on Saturday, it got to that second game and they got down. And I was like, you know what? You know, Bryce is in the lineup. Like, I felt okay. I didn't feel like, well, we're about to lose this game. It didn't happen again Sunday. And I didn't feel like, oh, we're about to lose this game. I more or less felt it's only a matter of time before they start hitting.
Until they figure it out.
And we're going to get some runs on the board. Last night, they got a few on the board early. I thought last night's game was more about Nola's pitching, although it's always great to see Kyle Schwarber get us off to a great start.
Sure is.
And that's what I said. Should never be moved out of that leadoff spot. That's exactly where he needs to be at.
Yep, exactly right. No one ever doubted leadoff Schwarber for sure. And
so that's a good thing. And it was a good win last night.
And it's starting to feel like how it felt 09, 10, 11, where like it's just like they're going to show up and kind of win tonight. And I hope that they've gotten the idea that they can't win at home out of their system. And,
right.
And that's why I think coming back against the Padres, being able to do that three straight games and having the home crowd behind them again, mm-hmm. hopefully this is like wind at their sails. And now the whole worry about them being able to win at home is kind of behind them. But
oh, yeah, I think they're feeling it. Yeah. I think you know how it is, man. You get to a season and you got a good ball club. You almost know when you're starting to hit your stride because mm-hmm. everybody seems to be in a good groove. Everybody is feeling positive coming to the ballpark area. They are excited to come to the ballpark. When you're playing the way the Phillies have been playing over the last month or so, they can't get to the next game fast enough.
Yes.
They can't get to the next game fast enough because they are seeing the ball well. The pitchers are pitching well. The bullpen is doing what they need to do. And even when they get off the slow starts and get behind in games, now you got late inning heroics that are there, which there's a different energy in the clubhouse. And I guarantee you, these dudes can't wait to get to the ballpark every day because they feel like they're going to win every game.
And they have 40,000 people behind them every night now, which is
come on, man.
Another good crowd last on a Tuesday night where it's hot.
Against Milwaukee.
Against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Like it's been great. We talked about it a lot, but it's been so great seeing what the crowds have done this year. So, yet again, another win last night. Tonight, Chris Sanchez, Colin Ray, we got leading off. We'll take you into the game and get you set for that coming up a little bit later. But how they're playing right now and everything that's going on and just the look of this team, it's an all-in year for them. And it's not what they did last year where they traded a couple pieces away for a Noah Syndergaard or a David Robertson or I mean, the Logan Hoppy trade was a relatively big one. But it's one of those years, more like 09, 10, 11, where you're pushing in your chips and going and getting a difference maker. And I thought what Dave Dombrowski, he was a guest on Joel Sherman and John Heyman's podcast. I feel like he's laying the groundwork here for the Phillies to bring in a superstar. Here is what Dave Dombrowski said last night on this podcast.
So for us, one of the keys there is Bryce Harper's ability to play first base. Because if he can go from DH to playing first base, which we think he will be able to do, and we'll be able to have that answer by this trading deadline, we're in a position where that will allow us to move Kyle Schwarber then to the DH position on a regular basis. And that would allow us to try to add some type of combination out there in the outfield, probably in left field.
What does that sound like to me, Ike? That sounds like...
Sounds like we're going to get an outfielder.
That sounds like the one and only Mr. Juan Soto. Juan Soto. And Dave Dombrowski is a big swing kind of guy. It's in his nature. It's what he does. He is a big trade maker, and that's why he's here. And Juan Soto is a big swing. It's a big swing. I know there's some risk. Like, the people are worried about his play recently on San Diego. He looks a little lackadaisical out there. Doesn't look totally locked in. I'm not worried about that with Juan Soto, because what I have here is essentially the pieces that helped turn Juan Soto into, I don't know, the best young player in baseball, the mm-hmm. best player on a title team at 20 years old. Mm-hmm. And the Dave Dombrowski and the Phillies need to do whatever it takes to go bring Juan Soto in and make him a Philly. Now, Ike, mm-hmm. the annoying part about this is that it looks like Andrew Painter is heading towards Tommy John surgery. That news came out around 12:30 that they recommended Tommy John. He's probably going to get it. Mm-hmm. If the Padres want him, sure. I don't know if he can still headline a package, because he could be out for the next year and a half. The Andrew Painter thing, I would trade Painter for Soto if Andrew Painter is healthy. If they want him, sure, I'd still do it. If not, it's not throwing me off the scent here. I still got to do whatever it takes to bring in Juan Soto.
Yeah, I like Juan Soto. I mean, I love him as a baseball player, and I do believe he's one of the best young baseball players in the game. He's on a Hall of Fame track if he continues at the pace that he's on. And I'm not saying that he couldn't help the Phillies. And I've been listening to this conversation all day, and it started this morning. I got James Seltzer yelling through my radio in the car about Juan Soto. He's biting everybody's head off. Poor John Ritchie. He just wants to give his
not
opinion
allowed.
About Yeah, he's not allowed to give an opinion.
Well, Seltzer and I kind of have the same, you know, a little bit.
Pit bull mentality.
Yeah, baseball elitists, I would
so,
say.
Yeah. So it started early, and then obviously Joe G., he's been trying to trade for stars for the last 2 years. He wants to trade everybody.
Every
he don't
year.
Give a damn who it is.
Oh, he even threw Porstadi in there today.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't care who it is.
Hey, what are we doing?
He wants to upgrade the team. So I get the sentiment from you baseball guys. Right?
Well, I'm just saying, if me, Gillio, and Seltzer are all on one page.
Yeah, listen, that's dangerous. That really is dangerous. Here's what I'll say. I think there is something to the chemistry aspect. Whether or not do you really need him? This baseball team is starting to hit its stride. They're playing great baseball. Do you even need Juan Soto right now? Sure, he can help. I'm not telling you he's not going to make the Phillies a better team. He certainly aren't going to make them a lock to win the World Series. This is baseball. We've seen all-star lineups not win World Series.
We see the 2011 Phillies not win World Series.
So we know how that sort of works. And the fact that he's in an all-star lineup and they're damn near in last place out there in San Diego says a lot to me. He's in an all-star lineup. Right? Would you not say he's in an all-star lineup now?
Him, Tatis, Bogarts.
Yeah.
I mean, they are.
It's a pretty damn good lineup.
Pretty dang good.
And the team isn't very good.
Yes.
Team isn't very good. Now, I would put more of that on Tatis. I'm not going to tell you that playing with Bryce Harper and Trey Turner, and I know Kevin Long was with them in down in Washington.
Yep.
I think that does at least allow you to be open to the idea. Because you would be scared off from this if you were trying to bring him into a clubhouse with a bunch of guys he has never played with.
Exactly.
And you're trying to ingrate him.
I actually think this is just the perfect fit.
So I can see that. I'm not going to – there's not a strong pushback against that. I'm just saying I would caution against messing up what you've just started to sort of get rolling by trying to ingratiate another big personality, a star player coming in having to be really fit in. Like, fit into what they have going on. And then you're playing in Philadelphia. That stuff he's doing out there in San Diego, I don't care if he doesn't like the clubhouse or what have you. Either you have it in you or you don't. You know, I've always thought the whole Chase Utley personality thing was a little bit overblown and overplayed. The guy hustles down to first base. Charlie Hustle, I get all of that. Mr. Tryhard. But we love that here.
Mm-hmm.
This fan base loves that. Well, what's going to happen when he doesn't play that way?
It's gonna be what the reaction is gonna be, which is like, why isn't he hustling? He doesn't care about winning, all that stuff.
And then you know what happens? His buddies have to come to his defense. So now what happens in the clubhouse when you got the star players aligning together and there's certain rules for those guys, but the other guys need to bust their ass down to first base. They need to play hard all the time. But when Bryce isn't feeling well, he's not hitting home runs, it's okay when he doesn't bust his hump, right? We've allowed that to happen already, right?
He bounces back, though.
But I know. All I'm saying is that the more of those type of personalities you bring in, you're creating more of that in your clubhouse versus we're overachievers, we're underappreciated, young guys
John
that haven't
Kruk,
proven anything.
The voice of the people. I don't know what's going on either. Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. 10:03 start today. Morning show, having a good time. And we're here, have a good time, leading you up
Schlitzy
to Phillies baseball. Good morning, Hugh.
You're so petty.
No,
good morning, Joe.
What's
good
up?
Morning, Philly.
How's everybody doing?
Well, 10:03 is ridiculous.
Yeah,
let's be honest.
It's a little late start, but that's all right. That's all right. Morning show, having a good time today. And I was having a good time watching the Phillies, you know, through the, you know, into the post All-Star break. First weekend was great against the Padres. Then the win the night before. Last night, not a great night. And look, they're going to drop
some opportunity
games.
Squandered.
Yeah.
Opportunity.
I'm not that upset they lost the game. They were bound to lose a game. Brewers are good. They're in the playoff race, too. It's one game. So we got another one coming up today at 12:35. We'll lead you right into the Phillies game today. But, Hugh, I don't know what I saw last night, and it has nothing to do with the outcome of the game. It has everything to do with that at-bat that we heard there that T-Mac and John Kruk are trying to break down. Bryce Harper up against Holby Milner, who is a deep cut in Phillies history. Hugh, that at-bat, he didn't take the bat off his shoulder. And
nah,
it wasn't that he just, you know.
Looked like me up there at the plate.
I mean, it could have been any of us up there at the plate.
Trying to see the ball.
It's not so much that he struck out looking. It's not so much that he went up there. Hugh, it looked like he had no interest in swinging the bat in that entire at-bat. It was, I would say, the most bizarre at-bat of Bryce Harper's career, Hugh. That was weird.
I've never seen anything like that from a player of that caliber. And a player that, to me, was on a trajectory where it looked like he was coming out of whatever it was he was going through, like he was getting his power back and everything. And it just led me to think, like, maybe something's wrong with him. Then, you know, I was talking this morning, there was reports that he might have been a little sick and, you know, he might have lost his voice and things of that nature. So I'm willing to give Bryce Harper the benefit of the doubt in this situation because that, to me, since I've been here, that's Bryce Harper-like.
Agreed. And look, he's a guy that has a great eye at the plate, and he takes his walks, and so he's patient, but you see he's up there with the purpose to swing, and then if he doesn't like the pitch, he will take the pitch. I am concerned, guys, with the whole Bryce Harper situation. Something weird is going on. This entire week has been bizarre. He was supposed to play first base coming out of the All-Star break, didn't do it. Then they said the rain over the weekend was part of why he wasn't playing first base. Now he's sick. That at-bat last night. Let's listen to Holby Milner, the opposing pitcher. Of course, we remember him back in the day as the guy.
But Holby Milner is nasty, brother.
That's right. Yeah, Gabe Kapler pulled Aaron Nola for Holby Milner back in 2018.
Yeah,
how can we ever forget?
And
well, he looked nasty last night for Bryce Harper. So let's listen to Holby after the game last night. He was the pitcher, of course, against Bryce Harper. Even he was like, I don't know what the heck was happening. Here's Holby Milner.
Is that uncomfortable at all? Like, are you waiting for him to ambush something? Or
it's my mind, like, going through my motion. I'm like, is he taking? And then you can just, the fact he was just auto, I'm like, okay, well, then I can throw it down the middle. But yeah, weird scenario. Like, first time I've ever seen that. I guess he just stuck to a game plan, and credit to him for sticking to it, I guess.
So he stuck to the game plan. I mean, sometimes you have a game plan where you go up there and you see a hitter wants to let the guy throw a strike first before he swings. If a guy is wild. Hobie Milner wasn't wild last night. It wasn't like he walked the three guys before. That's what made it so strange. It wasn't like that pitcher was throwing a ton of balls. So, okay, I'm going to not swing here. It seemed like a normal at-bat, and Bryce didn't participate.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when I saw it, it looked like to me, and I'm still playing it over my head as I speak about it. It was just like he saw it and he just let it go past.
Mm-hmm.
It was like he had made it up in his mind at that point that he wasn't going to swing regardless of what it was. That's what it kind of felt like to me. And when I saw that, I got to thinking, I'm like, is he sick? I mean, what's going on? And we even watched it this morning where we're trying to figure out, we watched it a couple times, just trying to figure out if there was something mechanically wrong with him. I mean, because he wasn't even crouched. He wasn't in a batter stance. He was just up there chilling.
So during the pandemic season, we had the cardboard cutouts of fans in the crowd. That was a cardboard cutout of Bryce Harper at the plate last night in that inning against Hobie Milner. He wouldn't move. It was bizarre. And if you guys notice, you go back and watch it. The video that everyone see the video or watched it live last night. I believe it was after the 1-1 pitch. He started almost stretching his back. It made me wonder if his back got tight in that particular at-bat. Now, he did get up later and get a hit, so it wasn't like he was pulled from the game. He didn't talk after the game last night, so we're left to and maybe he can't talk because his voice is gone, apparently. I don't know. I am concerned something's up here with Bryce Harper, who, by the way, once again, not in the lineup at first base today. The Phillies have, if my math is correct, they have 12 days till the MLB trade deadline, 12 days to decide if can he play first base or not? Because if he can, they get a left fielder. If he can't, they got to get a first baseman. He has not taken the field yet. He's not in the lineup at first base today. Let's hear yesterday. This is really interesting. Yesterday, Rob Thompson on with the Morning Show, James Seltzer asking the questions here about Bryce and the physical toll of playing first base. I thought Topper's answer was weird.
One thing you mentioned there, you mentioned the health part of it. Are there any concerns with the health? I figure if you guys are going to put him out there, you have to feel pretty confident that there aren't going to be any long-term issues with the elbow.
Yeah, I think we're there now. I think, you know, as far as the elbow's concerned, I think it's healthy. I don't really have many concerns about that. It's the rest of his body, really. You know, you take 160 pitches on defense on a daily basis, it doesn't seem like a lot to the normal person playing first base, but it takes a toll on your body, and just want to make sure that, you know, it doesn't turn into a hamstring or a calf or a hip or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a good point.
Hugh, what do you make of that? Him talking about how, you know, basically saying a full game at first base, a lot on your body. That was bizarre to me because he said, I have no concerns with his elbow. Like, he's clear to throw the baseball in the infield, but he's talking about the rest of his body.
I don't know. Because he's been working out like a madman, and we saw that in spring training with the Clearwater, and it's not like he's not done this before.
Right, he used to play the field every day.
Yeah, I don't understand that. That to me, I don't get where he's coming from. Maybe he's hurt already.
That's
I don't know.
What I'm wondering. If there's something else going on. Again, if you watch that at bat last night, I think after the 1-1 pitch, he started twisting around as if his back was tight there. Look, I know he's sick right now. He had a fever apparently yesterday. That's the report, and he lost his voice. So that's fine. But he played in the game. He also swung the bat later on in the game. He's not playing first base. He's at DH. 215-592-9494.
He lost his voice and he was sick and he playing baseball today?
Yeah. Yesterday apparently he was sick.
Interesting.
I
believe in Bryce Harper. Let me just say that. I mean, I believe in Bryce Harper. I'm just kind of – I don't know what to say about what's going on with him.
I think we all – I mean, I believe in him as a player, certainly. But I'm concerned right now for a couple reasons. One, obviously his power is not fully back. I know he hit the home run over the weekend, so that's one thing. But, Hugh, well, here's what's concerning me. They have – after today, they have 9 games between now and the trade deadline. They're basing their entire trade deadline strategy on he's going to play first base. And right now, they have no evidence – he can actually play first base.
Not at all. Not at all. But I think they're pretty confident in the fact that he can. I'll say it like this, Joe, and this is how I feel about it. 9 days, 12 days, 15 days. That's not enough time to figure out if you're a good first baseman.
I agree with you.
It's not. When you talk about you got guys that have played there for years. That's, to me, that's the equivalent of going to a basketball camp, a dribble camp, and saying, okay, now you can go out and dribble like Kyrie Irving. No, it's not going to work out like that. Like, you might have the fundamentals down and the basics, but to sit there and be like, no, I'm going to be prolific at first base. No, you're not about to do that.
Yeah. And
that was I never thought that was going to be the
case. It's just fascinating that this is the Philly strategy. Well, Bryce could play first base. All right. Can we see it? Can we see it? And I agree with what you're saying here, that 9 games, 8 games, 7 games, 15, it's all a very small sample. But right now there's zero sample. He still hasn't gotten to first base yet. Last night, whatever that was very bizarre. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard. Bryce, once again, not at first base today. No idea what was going on in the middle of the game yesterday when he just, frankly, just stood there and watched Hobie Milner strike him out. And didn't talk after the game. I guess he just physically can't talk. He lost his voice or whatever. I'm concerned here with this Bryce Harper situation because his health and ability to play first base is their entire trade deadline strategy. If they get a... Guys, if the Phillies get a left fielder that can't play first base and Bryce can't play first base, then they've just destroyed their trade deadline strategy because that guy can't play every day. You have Schwarber. There's only one DH. I mean, the Phillies have run into this problem for a couple of years now. There's only one DH spot on a team with a lot of DHs. 215-592-9494 to hop in. Are you concerned with Bryce Harper? Kyle, what are you feeling on this as Bryce Harper had the most bizarre at-bat of his long career last night?
That was, frankly, I was pissed off at the time of the at-bat. It was just so weird. It was awful. Like, if I was at that game, I would have probably, like, worn out my voice by booing Bryce Harper.
Boo!
Like, yes. No, seriously. Like, at the time, I wanted to pull a Jonathan Papelbon and go down to the dugout and, you know what. But
put your hands around
his neck. Yeah, put my hands around the dude's
neck. Not a loving embrace either.
Not a loving embrace, Hugh. It was a tie game, and one swing could have put the Phillies ahead, and the bat doesn't even leave your shoulders. I mean, that really bothered me, but I have since calmed down. I have since zoomed out.
Okay.
It's one at bat. It's one loss. I think everything's going to be okay with the guy. The at bat's unacceptable, but he's still hitting 300. He's still. I think the arrow is pointing up. Still,
it is
on Bryce Harper's season.
It's just weird. It's one of those situations where you're looking at it and you're like, you're trying to figure out, as a fan, you're trying to figure it out. But at the end of the day, for me, I just was like, oh, it's Bryce Harper. He knows more baseball than I do, so he knows what he's doing.
Well, yeah.
You just got to kind of leave it at that.
And, like, look, Hobie Milner is nasty, brother. So
Hobie.
Gabe said it.
And my manager tried to tell you guys.
But to let the bat sit on your shoulders, I could have did that.
Yeah. No.
Anyone could have done that.
And got that paycheck for the week.